Well, this morning we have a hard stop at 11:40 at the latest. And as always, because of the messages that I have to give in this training, those messages became more fresh in me, and the burden from behind those messages are more living in me. And I heard that Thursday morning after my message of the night before concerning the humanity that is needed for the building. Ricky Acosta gave you a little word regarding the humanity today, something like that, correct? Yes. Well, I like to pick up from his burden this morning. Now, I wasn't here, so I don't know exactly what he shared, but I heard a little something. And so I like to start there, and that is, I do not know if he introduced you to this wonderful book, which I had mentioned in my sharing that Wednesday night in my message. And that is this book, Christ as Reality. Now, if I have some money, I would buy one for each one of you, with the caveat that you will sign the statement that you will read it. If you don't sign that statement, sorry, no gift. But if you would read it, I would get one for you. But I don't have the money right now. So I urge you, and I don't know how much this book costs anymore. It couldn't be that much. I think today even college kids are not that bad off. Huh? They have money for certain things. And I urge you to spend some money, a few dollars, to go and buy this book, and don't wait. Get it in a hurry. And I'd like to start off by just, in a way of my own testimony, as I already testify a bit in my message, how these messages impacted my life. And up to today, this is one of those few books, and actually there's quite a few books, but this is one of those books that I would call it's life-changing for me. This is one of them. And this is given, these messages, in 1971, the same year Brother Lee gave the messages on the visions of Ezekiel. And Brother Lee never had a life study on Ezekiel at all. So today, if you go to the bookstore and try to find a life study for Ezekiel, it's not a life study. It is a compilation of messages he gave in 1971, the same year he gave these messages on Ezekiel, plus something that he did about 10 years before that, a little bit more than 10 years before that in Taiwan, in a book with the same subject called The Visions of Ezekiel. So today, the life study is a compilation of those two speakings. And that same year, 1971, was when he gave in the springtime, as he usually do in those years, in what he called informal training. And by that time, I was 4 years into my church life. Well, to be more specific, I should say 2 years, because 1969 was when I actually moved in from Oregon to Los Angeles to dive into the church life as such. Although 2 years before that, it was my first touch with the Lord's recovery in this country. And that was in the famous Eldon Hall. And that year, 71, was quite a special year as a result for me. Now, so what you find in this book, particularly on the matter of the humanity of the Lord, was also covered very much in the visions of Ezekiel, spoken in Embassy Auditorium in downtown LA in that same year. And the message that I gave on humanity came from that source. The background to this speaking of these messages was in a very tumultuous decade in the history of the United States. And that is the decade of the 1960s. And without getting into all the historical stuff, I would just say that decade was a watershed, not in a good way, for this country. In other ways, it was an advancement. For example, 1969, we put the first man on the moon. That was a huge technological leap in space exploration. And that's only one aspect. And there would be other aspects of advance in this country. But I'm not talking about that when I say watershed. When I say watershed, I'm talking about a beginning of decline in the fibers of this country, especially in the moral sense of that word. I would say even though the 50s, something of this kind of thing has begun, the 60s is when it really, really gelled. And so I can only use this term, the mystery of lawlessness. This is a term from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. There is a certain thing on earth called the mystery of lawlessness. It's a mystery. That means you cannot see it. You don't know what's going on. But it is very real. And this lawlessness, which includes everything bad, as far as God is concerned, is actually a spirit of Antichrist. And today, if there's not, according to scriptures, if there's not some kind of restraint placed on this lawlessness, this mystery of lawlessness, things would be a lot, lot worse. The day will come, listen to me, when that restraint will be removed. And this world will plunge into a state of lawlessness that it has never experienced before. This is before the Lord's coming back, especially in the last times, including the time of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of this earth, of this age. And in the 60s, back to the 60s, there was a total obvious loosening of morality in this country. And today, the society that we're living in, the kind of things that we're experiencing today, we can point back to the 60s from where it really began. And of course, today is a lot worse. Now, you would say, those days we have the crazy hippies, You probably don't know what hippies were, but they were really hippies in those days. Anti-establishment, they were, some of them were called flower children. Those were the years when the rock music of the young people just took another leap into another dimension of darkness. You talk about the Beatles. I mean, that was also the era when things all took a beginning, a dark turn. And they were just one of the bands. There were a lot more others. And I will even just say this much. If you do a study, you'll find that a lot of this, even this rock music and things, are directly tied to the source of darkness. Just the music. Not to mention drugs. The drugs were just hell broke loose. Not only, marijuana, the weeds, grass, they used to call it, became the rec drug of choice, but the harder drugs came in, especially things like LSD and all that kind of a stuff. And today, of course, drugs are rampant here and there, depending on which state you're in, meth, heroin, crack, and many other kinds of drugs, worse kind of things today. It all, not that there were not drugs before, this is also, it broke loose into the open at that time. And that did a number on humanity, and it's still doing today. Then, of course, the lifestyle issue, the fornicatious lifestyle. And when I say fornication, I mean fornication in various manifestations. In those days, it was still kind of a fornication in a more, shall we say, traditional way, straight sex, right? But since that time, things have begun to get worse into the 70s and 80s and so on, and all kinds of depraved and degraded, degenerate type of sexual activities, the promiscuity of sex also broke loose in the 60s as well. And besides that, from the side of something even more insidious, more pernicious that people don't maybe talk about, is the whole liberal thinking. And that is not only advanced by these so-called hippies, it actually was beginning to come off from academia. Now, the studies that have been done that all that actually happened earlier, back in the 50s and 40s, when the academia being taken over by people that are more secular, atheistic, and they have an agenda to, I use the word poison, the minds of a whole generation, and they succeeded in doing so in removing God from the conversation, infusing a whole generation with a different kind of ideology that is what we call the liberal kind of ideology, humanistic, godless, and so on. That is actually something more insidious than even these physical things that I just described. And so the 60s just opened the door. And Now, my burden this morning, I have only 20 minutes left, is on humanity. And I tell you, that's the background. That's the background. This is 71 already, where the 60s was over, but it was carry over into the 70s. And at that time, a lot of these young people from that background came into the Lord's recovery. And there was a strong burden in our brother, and we believe in the Lord, to speak to this matter, to confront this matter. And so the messages on humanity, and I told you how Brother Lee was going to speak on the five offerings in Leviticus, but when he went to chapter 2 on the meal offering, he got stuck there. He could not go on, and he continued to spend much of the messages in that training on the meal offering alone. And that has to do with the humanity of Jesus. And so I urge you, my speaking is short, but if you read this and pray read this and really, really get into this, you will get much help, much, much help, as I did. And so he, our Brother Lee, was actually engaged in a spiritual warfare in his speaking to battle this matter, to expose this matter. On the negative side, to bring out all these things, I think Brother Ricky, right, talked to you something of even in one of these chapters, classic chapter called The Humanity of Jesus and Spiritual Warfare. That's a classic one. It's in here. He mentioned these three things. Number one, fornication. Number two, mental disorder or problems. And number three, it would be this matter of suicide. And today, I mean, I would say all these things have flowered and become developed. And with the advent of the internet, now it is just everywhere, everywhere. So you are living in that situation, in a sense, worse than the 60s. The 60s pioneered that kind of lawlessness. Today, we're reaping the fruit. And I have a strong burden, heavy burden, deep burden for our young people, you, of this generation now, not only the millennials, but post-millennials, the so-called Generation Z. And some of you are now of that post-millennial generation. Positively, that was negative. Positively, I must also tell you, with messages like this through the Holy Spirit's anointing and work, I saw for the first time in the scriptures another humanity. And so we're not just talking about, okay, let's go back from the 60s and get back to the 1930s. How about that? Or let's go back to the Puritan times in the 1600s, or the time of the colonies, or the some earlier days, and we'll be better people, better Americans. No, it's not even about that. It's not about the early days were better, which they were, from a moral sense and from other senses, but it's not that. I wish that all of you, with the help of messages like this, will see there is another humanity, a humanity that God wants, and that God had made us, man, to possess, a humanity that will That is what he had created to be. A humanity that would match his divinity. A humanity that will be the container of that divinity. Not any humanity can do that. And especially after Satan came in to poison and damage that God-made humanity, to make it just a broken, destroyed, ruined one. And Satan didn't have to do that much. Satan's work is not just to get men into hell, you know, into the lake of fire. No, let me tell you, no. Satan's only one job, and he surely knows what he was doing, and his agenda is just but one thing, to destroy man. And to destroy his humanity. If he has done this, that's it. He won. The devil won. So that is his aim. And the fall of man that you read in the first chapters of Genesis is all about the destruction of that humanity. Step by step by step. Starting with the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with Adam, all the way to Genesis, to the time of Noah, the time of Noah. And by the way, I told you, I don't know whether I told this group, that I actually gave three messages tracing the matter of homosexuality from Genesis to Revelation. I did a Bible study just to prove to you that this is not some recent happening. This is in the Bible. This is very, very much Satan's work in destroying humanity. Just this one thing. It's not everything. Just this one thing. But I gave three messages on this. And maybe I would find a way for you to read that as well. Now, I'm not here on some kind of a soapbox. I'm not here some kind of conservative, right-wing, moralist guy. Forget about that. I'm here for God. Amen. And I'm here speaking based on his word. And you need to do the same. Young people, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. You have to acknowledge God, and you have to acknowledge his word. And you have to base your thinking on his word, on scripture. So today, Satan's another work is to get rid of God and get rid of God's word. And that's why in this coming summer training, college training, we have this subject. What? Knowing, seeing, and what? Gaining God in an age of godlessness. This is where it all begins. That is to get God out of the picture and get his word out of the picture. No, we have to come back fully to God, and we have to come back fully to his word. Now that is just an aside, just an aside. His work, Satan's work, is nothing less just to destroy the humanity that God so need to fulfill his heart's desire. And by the time of Noah, that humanity is so destroyed that God has to come and judge and wipe it out. Except for the ark and the 8 souls. That would have been done. But God would not be defeated. God would find a way to preserve that humanity for himself. And of course, things got worse after that unto the Tower of Babel. Well, just remember this, young brothers and sisters. That is Satan's work. And Satan's work is also to destroy your humanity. And all these things I mentioned from the 60s and all of that, they're not just bad things in themselves. They are tools, instruments, means used by the pernicious one, that is the devil, to destroy more men. And may I say, more young men and young women. As we speak right now, I tell you, every second there is another person destroyed, another young person, young life destroyed, to render them useless to God, broken vessels. Now, this morning, I would not just want to just harp on these terrible negative things. I want to use the remaining time to uplift you. I want to uplift you. I want you to see another humanity. There is another humanity, and it's not yours. Yes, you had a God-created humanity that which had become fallen. You have that too, so do I. But by God's mercy, he saved us and he redeemed us. And so our humanity has now been redeemed back to God, at least positionally. Then, not only so, God came in with his own life in his Son as the Spirit to regenerate us and even to regenerate our humanity. From then on, our Christian life is just a process of this very God recovering that humanity by renewing it, by transforming it, by perfecting it until it is good for his divinity, good to contain himself, good for his expression, good for his building. That's what our humanity is ultimately for. That's why I say man is destined for the throne and humanity is purpose for his building. If you want to know what is the meaning of human life, that's it in one that sentence. In that one sentence. Oh, but the devil would not have that. So he is the roaring lion, he's the thief, he is seek to destroy and steal. Before that can happen. Now, this other humanity, brothers and sisters, is the humanity of Jesus, of Jesus Christ. This is a man that is the man of all men. This is the man that God wants. This is one humanity that God points to. This is it. This is it. And so he came, the Lord came to this earth and lived for 33 and a half years, not only as the Son of God, which he was, the only begotten, but he lived as the Son of Man. You know, in Ezekiel 60 times, the Son of Man, the term was mentioned, mainly referring to Ezekiel. But do you know, in the Gospels, 4 Gospels, the term Son of Man was used 80 times plus, and not referring to Ezekiel, not referring to the Lord Jesus himself. The Son of Man. He's not just a Son of Man. He is the Son of Man that God wants. And he took that position. He resisted the devil's temptation in that position, and he lived his life for those 33 and a half years as a man. He was God, but he did not live as God. He lived as a man, but expressing God. He lived a God-saturated or God-expressing humanity. Of course, through his death and resurrection, even he needed to bring that sinless humanity into God to complete that mingling of God and man, to be that real God-man and man-God. Okay, now, I just want you to appreciate this humanity. By the way, the non-humanity, the bad humanity, is very much summarized by Paul in 1 Timothy. Am I 2 Timothy on those 22 or 32 items of in the last days. You just go read in the last days, men will be like this and that and this and that. You go read it. It's a perfect description of today, 2,000 years later. Perfect description of the United States. That is not the humanity. Brothers and sisters, you got to see Jesus' humanity. I saw it. Brother Lee spoke about there's no humanity, no man like this man. He is just so pure. He is so balanced. He is pure. He is tender. In everything, he is right. I scarcely have words because you need to get into the details to appreciate this man. I was so taken. You know, I was 20 years old when I heard these messages. I was not a hippie. So it's not about not being a hippie or being a hippie. It's about another humanity that we all need. Even you are goody-goody, you still need that humanity. It's another humanity. It's not just a better humanity. It's the only humanity that is approved by God. And we need it, and you need it. And thank the Lord, we can have it. We're supposed to enjoy that humanity. But you have to first appreciate it, and that's why you have to read. I even ask you to go back and read the four Gospels again to study his humanity. I aim to do that. I'm thinking of putting together a book just on this kind of study, practical study of the Lord's humanity that is applicable to our daily life and our church life today. Beautiful, brothers and sisters. We studied the meal offering, and I said something about the meal offering, didn't I? So at 2021, actually, I wrote a chorus to a 1940s Christian hymn, which had never seen daylight. I only sing it to myself on the meal offering. Father, we deeply treasure thy Son's humanity. Meal offering rich we feed upon, a memorial sweet to thee. Now, you don't know what I just sang because you haven't studied the meal offering. I saw it. At that young age, I saw it through the type of the meal offering. And I just fell in love with this other humanity. And I set myself for the rest of my life to pursue this humanity, to possess this humanity, to gain this humanity, not just to be a cool guy, you know, not just to be a nice person. No, but to have this humanity so that God would be pleased to mingle himself with it in me. That I would be that vessel that is useful to the Lord with that kind of a humanity. That I can be a real right material for God's building with that humanity. I would be an acacia wood man. I long for that. I pray for that. It's not even just about escaping these things. It's about gaining this other humanity. So I'm over. My time is over. Brothers and sisters, will you set your whole life to gain this beautiful humanity, this right humanity? This man. And I will tell you, the way is to eat him. You got to eat him every day. And the way to do so is to drink the spirit of this man, the spirit of Jesus. So even when you call on the name of the Lord, don't just call on his name. Drink this spirit. Drink in his humanity. And also eat his word. By eating this word, you masticate his humanity. And the more you masticate, that humanity will become your food. It will become you. You are what you eat. And also, you have to what? You have to flee youthful lust and pursue this man. Pursue this man with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. So you have to join yourself to those who are after this man. My, I tell you, I've been doing this for the last 50 years. I'm still pursuing. But oh, how happy I am, and how thankful to the Lord I am for preserving me in this kind of a way. And I trust the Lord will do the same with all of you. Okay? My time is up. I think I better stop here. Will you get this book? Huh? This book? And if they say we ran out, you better all go pile in and ask for more, and they will print it. And spread this book to all your peers. Okay, amen.